Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live down the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
Good evening. Welcome to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. We are streaming live on the internet from London. This broadcast is dedicated to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On tonight's program, we continue with part 15 of our series of programs entitled The Vatican and Europe. We will discuss more about these programs after we've had some music. the Vatican and Europe. We continue with part 15 of this important subject with answers from the Bible. Over the course of a number of weeks, we have been discussing the following. Where in the Bible do we find the Vatican mentioned? Where the Bible shows the Vatican's roots come from? Why Jesus mentions about the Vatican in the Bible? How long Jesus predicted that the Vatican would rule for? And what lessons has Jesus for us about the Vatican today? In our study last week, listeners, we learned that in Revelation chapter 13, the Lord Jesus Christ has warned us that a time is coming upon this earth when God's faithful people will not be able to buy or sell at any price. The Lord has warned us that at this time, Satan will control the world through papal Rome. We learned that the decree will soon go forth, prohibiting men to buy or sell of any man save him that have the mark of the beast. We learned that the mark of the beast is the mark of papal Rome, because the first beast symbolized in Revelation chapter 13 is symbolic of papal Rome. We learned that Sunday worship is the mark of papal Rome, and that the mark of the beast will be enforced Sunday worship. We will study this week to see how Revelation chapter 13 brings to view a second lamb-like beast, or satanic government, that will be an ally of papal Rome. The Lord predicts that this lamb-like beast will lead the world to worship papal government by force, by enforcing Sunday worship. As we continue to study the Bible, we will look at who this deadly lamb-like beast is that Jesus has specifically warned us about. And so, listeners, as we're about to start our study this evening, let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio, streaming live on the internet from London. Lord, as we continue to study your word, I ask your Holy Spirit to be with us and to teach us those things in your word that we need to know in order for us to be saved in your eternal kingdom is our prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Vatican and Europe, Part 15. The United States of America, the enforcer of papal government. We read in Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 to 18. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that have understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. As we studied last week, listeners, Revelation chapter 13 is one of the most well-known and most misunderstood chapters in the Bible. The Lord reveals in verses 16 to 18 of this chapter a time when all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, will be caused to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. The Lord also reveals that the number of the beast is the number of a man, and his number is 666. As we studied last week, and have studied over the last 14 radio programs, gathering evidence from the Bible and from world history, the first beast mentioned in Revelation chapter 13 is symbolic of papal Rome. This is the key that unlocks all the rest of the events that the Lord has predicted will happen in Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13 verse 3 explains that the world will wander after the first beast, papal Rome. Revelation chapter 13 verse 4 explains that the world will worship the first beast, papal Rome. We also read in Revelation chapter 13 verses 11 to 12 that a second lamb-like beast will exercise all the power of the first beast, papal Rome, before it. This second lamb-like beast will cause the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, papal Rome. The Bible explains how this second lamb-like beast will cause the earth and them that dwell therein to worship papal Rome. We read in Revelation chapter 13, verses 13 to 14, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live." The second lamb-like beast, or political power, symbolized in Revelation chapter 13, will do great wonders, making fire come down from heaven, deceiving them that dwell on the earth by the means of the miracles that he had power to do, note, in the sight of the beast, or in the sight of papal Rome. We will look more into this miracle-working power that will be manifested by the second beast of Revelation chapter 13 in our next radio broadcast. Let us note what the Lord reveals next about the lamb-like beast, listeners, through the visions that he gave to the Apostle John. The lamb-like beast says that those that dwell on the earth should make an image or reflection of the beast, an image of papal government. We read in Revelation chapter 13, verses 15 to 17, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." The second lamb-like beast, or political power, symbolized in Revelation chapter 13, is predicted to give life to the image of the beast, to the image of papal government, and is predicted to cause that as many as would not worship the image of papal government should be killed. Thus we see that this second beast of Revelation chapter 13 is predicted to become an enforcing agent for papal Rome. It will enforce a death penalty upon all that do not comply to this image of papal government. The second lamb-like beast, or political power, will cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. As the mark of the beast is enforced Sunday worship, then we see that this second lamb-like beast, or political power, will cause all that dwell upon the earth to receive enforced Sunday worship in their right hand or in their foreheads. And so, as we continue with our study about the Vatican and Europe this evening, listeners, and the influence that the Vatican will have over the rest of the world, let us first look at what it means to receive the mark of the beast, the mark of papal Rome, in the right hand or in the forehead. The Bible is its own interpreter. The symbols that the Apostle John used in the book of Revelation are found in other parts of the scriptures. Therefore, let us look at what the right hand and what the forehead symbolizes in the Holy Scriptures. We read in Exodus chapter 15, verse 6, "Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, have dashed in pieces the enemy." We read in Isaiah chapter 62, verse 8, "The Lord have sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored." In the Bible, the right hand is symbolic of power and strength. It is symbolic of a person's actions. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 and 8. "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land wherever you go to possess it. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." Note here that the commandments of God are to be a sign upon his people's hands, and as frontlets between their eyes, or upon their forehead, as the forehead is between one's eyes. Thus, the Lord through Moses instructed Israel that their thoughts and actions were to be based upon the commandments of God. Thus, to receive the mark of the beast in the right hand is to give one strength to physically support the mark of the beast. It is to comply with Sunday worship in action, with all the laws imposed by its enforcement. Those who receive the mark of the beast in the hand will not necessarily accept Sunday as a day of rest and worship, but they will violate the Sabbath and go along with Sunday for convenience sake. They will be afraid of the economic reprisals, and so in order to continue to keep their jobs and keep on buying and selling, they will accept the mark even though they do not believe in religion. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes." The law of God is to be as a frontlet between our eyes. A frontlet is a band worn on the forehead. Thus, God designed that we should keep his law in our mind and have it there as a frontlet bound upon our forehead. Those who receive the mark of the beast in the forehead, therefore, are those who reject God's law in their minds. They make a conscious decision to reject the fourth commandment on the seventh day of the week and to accept the full Sabbath of the papacy. They pay homage to papal Rome and thus reject Christ's law, and worship papal Rome, and thus worship who papal Rome represents, Satan. They join Satan and his followers in their global conspiracy to rebel against the law of heaven. We read in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 16, "And I will utter my judgments against them touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worship the works of their own hands." We read in Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 3 to 6, "Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there have been no latter rain. And thou hadst a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. Will thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger for ever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel have done? She is gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there have played the harlot." Note, listeners, that the Lord said that Israel had a whore's forehead when it had backslidden and refused to be guided by God. In a backslidden state, Israel spoke and done evil things. They had practiced sun worship. They worshipped the idols and the sun god of the heathen religions around them. And they honored the day of the sun, Sunday, the day that the devil has set aside for his worshippers to follow him. Thus now, in the Christian era, all who profess to be Christians, but who have backslidden, and who refuse to be guided by God, all professed Christians who speak and do evil things and accept the first day of the week as a day of worship, the pagan day of the sun, instead of the seventh-day Sabbath, they will receive the mark of the beast in their forehead. They would have set it in their minds not to be obedient to the God that they profess to serve, but to rebel against him and to worship Satan. It is important to note, listeners, that the enforcement of the mark of the beast is a time that is yet future, but the principle behind its enforcement is still relevant for all Bible-believing Christians and for the rest of the world. Thus, we see the spirit that leads to receiving the mark of the beast in the forehead. As God pronounced judgment upon all his people who had forsaken him in the time of ancient Israel, so the Lord will pronounce judgment upon all who forsake him in modern Israel, in the Christian church, to honor papal Rome. We read in the book of Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 to 10, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." We see the issue is about worship. Worshipping the beast is to worship satanic government, a government which rebels against the law of God and his sovereign power of love. As we have endeavored to show throughout this series of radio broadcasts, to worship the political and religious system of papal Rome is to worship a system of hatred. This is why God has to destroy all that give their allegiance to such a religion, for rather than bringing peace to the universe, they will bring war to it, and they will bring ruin to the universe. And so, before we go into more details about the work of the second lamb-like beast of Revelation chapter 13, we need to identify who this second lamb-like beast is. Who is this power that will work miracles to deceive people into making an image of papal government? Who is this power that will seek to enforce Sunday worship upon the world? We will have a break and continue with our study afterwards.
Voice in the Wilderness is a gospel ministry that was established in 1992. From small meetings of prayer and Bible studies, it grew into a national outreach resource and has since grown over the years into an international ministry that not only carries out evangelistic work through books and tracts and videos, but we also conduct prophecy seminars, health talks, religious liberty meetings, and carry out publishing work. Today, utilizing the latest electronic and printed media, our work has expanded and spread abroad around the world. In Africa, North, South, and Central America, Australia, the Caribbean, and Europe. We are a non-profit organization, and our work is supported by the prayers and goodwill of the people. If you would like to join our mailing list or offer prayers or give financial support, please contact inquiries at wildernesspublications.org, or you can call 4407962-388-445 for more information. Visit our online bookstore at www.wildernesspublications.org. Visit our radio station website at www.vitwradio.org. May the Lord richly bless you as you continue to listen to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio.
Let us now identify who the second lamb-like beast of Revelation chapter 13 is, so that we can have a clearer understanding of the events that the Lord has predicted will take place in the future history of this world. We read in Revelation chapter 13, verse 11, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." The following are excerpts from pages 6 to 21 from a book called The Two-Horned Beast of Revelation 13, A Symbol of the United States, written by John N. Loughborough in 1857. It reads, "A chain of prophecy is introduced before us in the book of Revelation, of which the two-horned beast is but a link. So in order to definitely understand the subject of the two-horned beast, we must make some inquiries in regard to this chain of prophecy and its symbols. Commencing with chapter 12 to the close of verse 5 of chapter 14, we find symbols of consecutive events extending from the time of the birth of Christ to the deliverance of the saints from the earth to stand upon Mount Zion. Three beasts are presented before us, and these three span the whole period and form three great links of this chain of prophecy. The dragon, the beast with seven heads and ten horns, and the lamb-like appearing beast succeed each other in the work here specified. By a careful examination of chapters 12 and 13, we may ascertain the exact time and manner of the rise of the several powers symbolized. We understand that these three beasts used here symbolize three powers or governments of earth. In symbolic prophecy, beasts that are presented before us are in nearly every instance explained to be governments. See Daniel chapter 7, verses 3, 17 and 18, and chapter 8, verses 3 to 7, and verses 19 to 21. Beasts are represented as performing a work that is clearly set forth as the work of governments. The work those powers accomplish in connection with the people of God is symbolized and brought forth before us in the specifications of the prophecy. The first power introduced in this chain of consecutive events is the dragon, which is represented as taking his position to war against the church of God at the time a man-child is born, who is to rule the nations with a rod of iron. This is symbolic of pagan Rome, which government is symbolized as the dragon and thus Satan. See Revelation chapter 12, verses 3 to 5 and 9, because pagan Rome was imbued with his spirit and carried out his work of persecuting the church of God. The second power introduced, Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, the seven-headed and ten-horned beast, is established by a free gift on the part of the first, the dragon, who gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. We have studied in previous radio broadcasts that this power is the papal Roman kingdom. The third power, the two-horned beast, is introduced as commencing to accomplish its work, symbolized here in this prophecy, at the point where the second government meets an overthrow. It is not represented as directly connected with either of the others, but as an independent power. For when the seven-headed and ten-horned beast receives a deadly wound, which we know is symbolic of the papacy, this two-horned beast is seen coming up. It is not then seen forming itself on the ruins of the first, but already organized, it is seen coming up at the very point where the death stroke is struck on the seven-headed beast. See verses 10 to 11. We learn from the testimony of verse 14 that these two powers have no reference to the same governments. We read in the book of Revelation chapter 13, verses 10 to 11. "He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." The Bible in Revelation chapter 13, verses 10 to 11, explains the time that the two horned beasts would arise. It will be the time when the papacy will be brought into captivity. As we studied in previous radio broadcasts, the papacy was to rule for 1260 years, between 538 to 1798, before it would receive a deadly wound. This it did, exactly as the Lord predicted, when General Berthier took the Pope captive in 1798, and Napoleon crowned himself Emperor of Europe. Thus the two-horned beast was to rise up as a government around 1798. We read in Revelation chapter 13, verse 11, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." The two-horned beast was to come up out of the earth in 1798. As the first beast, the papacy, covered the eastern continent, we must look elsewhere than in that continent, for two governments cannot rule in the same territory at the same time. In 1798, South America had large portions still under the power of the papacy. If we look at North America, at that time, here was British America, and the Russian possessions on the north, and to the southwest, the Spanish dominions of Mexico. Where then was the power? We find no place to locate it except in the United States, which did then exist as an independent Republican government, or in the language of the prophecy, another beast. It is evident that the United States, being the only organized government in 1798, aside from the first beast, or his extended dominion, and existing itself as an independent government, is the very territory viewed by the prophet in which the work of the two-horned beast was to be performed. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 11, the Bible declares, "I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth." Here is the peculiar manner of this beast's rise. Out of the earth. The four beasts, Daniel chapter 7, and also the first beast, Revelation chapter 13, are said to rise out of the sea. Sea or waters, denoting people, nations. See Revelation chapter 17, verse 15, by the striving of the winds. These winds are not the literal winds of heaven, but they symbolize something connected with the movements of the people, like the operations of the winds upon the water. The winds cause raging waves of the sea, which cast up mire and dirt. So here are commotions among the people, which cause kingdoms to arise, symbolized by the blowing of the winds of heaven. It was by aggressive wars that the four kingdoms of Daniel chapter 7 arose. John saw a beast or kingdom coming up out of the earth. No wind striving, but it comes up, seeming to indicate an independent rise, not from the help of others or by aggressive wars, but contrary to the rise of the first beast, it seems to have its nourishing qualities within itself. It comes up and creates no great stir in its first steps of onward progress, but is seen a distinct government, like a weed in some secluded garden. Our attention has been attracted by the plants. Uncultivated, unobserved, a weed has made its appearance. So, with these United States in their first appearance as a nation on the stage of action, a few met in convention and with boldness framed their declaration and announced to the world that they were an independent people and should maintain their just rights. And so, now that we have identified the lamb-like beast to be the United States of America, listeners, let us now look more closely at the image of the beast, the image of papal Rome. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." We read in Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, "And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. The Bible teaches us that an image is a likeness, a representation of something or someone. It is a reflection of the person or thing. We have seen that the beast is symbolic of the Roman Catholic system of government, a state controlled by an apostate Christian church. As we studied earlier, the image of the beast is an exact reflection or representation of this, a state power controlled by an apostate Christian church. And so, the Bible has foretold that the second lamb-like beast, or political power, symbolized in Revelation chapter 13, the United States of America, will make an image to the beast. In order for the United States to form an image of the beast, the religious power must so control the civil government that the authority of the state will also be employed by the church to accomplish her own ends. But how will it do this? We read in Revelation chapter 13, verses 13 to 14, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live." As we noted earlier, the Bible declares that miracle working power, fire coming down from heaven, lightning, will be manifested through the government of the United States of America to persuade its citizens to form a government that reflects the papal one. When the leading churches of the United States, uniting upon such points of doctrine as are held by them in common, shall influence the state to enforce their decrees and to sustain their institutions, then Protestant America will have formed an image of the Roman hierarchy, and the infliction of civil penalties upon dissenters will inevitably result. The leading churches in the United States of America are professedly Protestant. Yes, listeners, the Lord foretells that a time is coming in the future that, contrary to the original Constitution, which was put in place to safeguard citizens against religious tyranny, the government of the United States of America will be controlled by apostate Protestant Christian churches. Now, how is the image of the beast, the image of papal Rome, given life, listeners? We read in Revelation chapter 13, verses 12 and 15, "And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he hath power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." The Lord has shown that the image of the beast, a likeness of papal government, is given life, or placed into power, because the second beast, the United States of America, exerciseth the power of the first beast before him. It is the papacy which gives the United States of America power to have a papal form of government. The Bible records that the United States of America will become infiltrated by the Roman Catholic Church until it is set up to rule by its power. It is foretold by the Lord to become the papacy's enforcing agent upon the world. Now, do we have the practical evidence to prove that this has been slowly but stealthily happening? Absolutely, as God's word does not lie. As we studied in previous radio broadcasts, the Vatican, through Adam Weishaupt, a Jesuit priest, planned to infiltrate world governments through high-level Freemasonry. We read from page 237 of the book, The Illuminati 666, by the late William Josiah Sutton. "As it was during the French Revolution, So is it today. The Illuminists or communists have penetrated into the high levels of American politics and the high levels of its governmental institutions. Be not deceived. They have their top men posing as congressmen, senators, even presidents, FBI and CIA agents, as military officers, and even as clergymen. Looking at the influence that the Vatican has had on US politics throughout history, we can trace this as far back as the American Civil War. On page 296 of a book called 50 Years in the Church of Rome, the author, Charles Chiniqui, states about the American Civil War. This war would never have been possible without the sinister influence of the Jesuits. We owe it to popery that we have seen our land reddened with the blood of the noblest sons. On page 498 in this same book, Charles Chiniqui wrote, "After 20 years of constant and most difficult researches, I come fearlessly today before the American people to say and prove that the president, Abraham Lincoln, was assassinated by the priests and Jesuits of Rome." As we have read, the Vatican has planned to influence and control the Protestant churches in the United States of America. Since the mid-20th century, one of the ways that it has done this is through the charismatic and ecumenical movements. We read from pages 23, 24, and 31 from a book called All Roads Lead to Rome by Michael DeSemlin. The charismatic renewal movement, which began in the 1950s, with so many apparent virtues, had rapidly swept across the Christian world. It was widely seen as capable, with a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, of transforming the whole church. Key figure in the new ecumenical Pentecost was David Duplessis, who played the leading role in developing Roman Catholic Pentecostal dialogue. He was an invited guest at Vatican II and attended all six assemblies of the WCC, World Council of Churches, from Amsterdam 1948 to Vancouver 1963. At the Second Vatican Council, the Roman Church, responding to the heady atmosphere and promise of submergence of all differences, gave its blessing to this new movement of the Holy Spirit. Cardinal Augustine Bee, Jesuit confessor to Pius XII, key figure behind aging Pope John XXIII, and destined to do more for the ecumenical movement and the interfaith synthesis than perhaps anyone else, pointed the way ahead. The church must first strive to revitalize its own inner life so that it can be manifested to our separated brethren an ever clearer image of Christianity according to the gospel. American evangelical David W. Cloud takes an entirely different view of what is going on. From Rome's perspective, there could not be a more effective instrument towards the agenda set forth by Rome, which is building up the Catholic Church and re-establishing Catholic dominion, than the gullible, misled charismatic movement. This being the case, listeners, how is the image of papal Rome to speak? We read in Revelation chapter 13 and verses 11 and 15, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." The Bible explains that the United States of America, the two-horned beast of Revelation chapter 13, speaks like a dragon. The dragon is symbolic of Satan. See Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. A state speaks through its laws. Thus, the Bible declares that the United States of America will pass laws that are not biblical, but of satanic origin. The Lord has predicted that apostate Protestant Christian churches, which have been influenced by the papacy, will influence the state to enforce their decrees and to sustain their institutions. The Lord has predicted that a time is coming when the United States of America will pass laws that will call for the persecution and death of all who do not comply with the decree to enforce Sunday worship. We read on page 449 of the book, The Great Controversy Between Christ and Satan, by Ellen G. White. When Sunday observance shall be enforced by law, and the world shall be enlightened concerning the obligation of the true Sabbath, then whoever shall transgress the command of God to obey a precept which has no higher authority than that of Rome will thereby honour popery above God. He is paying homage to Rome and to the power which enforces the institution ordained by Rome. He is worshipping the beast and his image. As men then reject the institution which God has declared to be the sign of his authority and honour in its stead that which Rome has chosen as the token of her supremacy, they will thereby accept the sign of allegiance to Rome, the mark of the beast. And it is not until the issue is thus plainly set before the people and they are brought to choose between the commandments of God and the commandments of men that those who continue in transgression will receive the mark of the beast. This time is still yet future, listeners, but we are not just to wait for this event to happen. We are to warn the world and give the people a chance to make an intelligent decision about this matter. Before the wrath of God is poured out upon all who reject the sign of his authority, the keeping of the seventh-day Sabbath, and honour in its stead that which Rome has chosen as a token of her supremacy, Sunday worship, everyone must be given a chance to understand and decide who they will give their allegiance to. So listeners, at this time, we will have another break and come back with our closing thoughts. Thank you. As we have been documenting, listeners, the Roman Catholic Socialist movement is stealthily but unsuspectedly gaining a foothold upon all the political and religious aspects of European and American society. We read from 581 from the book called The Great Controversy Between Christ and Satan by Ellen G. White. God's word has given warning of the impending danger. Let this be unheeded, and the Protestant world will learn what the purposes of Rome really are only when it is too late to escape the snare. She is silently growing into power. Her doctrines are exerting their influence in legislative halls, in the churches, and in the hearts of men. She is piling up her lofty and massive structures in the secret recesses of which her former persecutions will be repeated. Stealthily and unsuspectedly, she is strengthening her forces to further her own ends when the time shall come for her to strike. All that she desires is vantage ground, and this is already being given her. We shall soon see and shall feel what the purpose of the Roman element is. Whoever shall believe and obey the word of God will thereby incur reproach and persecution. So, listeners, how can we prepare to escape the mark of the beast? The first thing that God calls us to do is to enlighten people and help them to understand the prophecies of the last days. This is the reason why Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio exists, to enlighten the people. And after enlightenment, the people must be practically instructed as to how they must live in the last days to be ready for the Lord's glorious second coming. Before we can help others, though, we have to first help ourselves. And as we cannot help ourselves of ourselves, we can only find strength and help and grace and power in the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ offers. This will be the subject for our next radio program. We read in John chapter 15, verses 5-9. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. So listeners, here Jesus explains to us how we can abide in his love and escape the wrath of God. Let us now close our study this week with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word and for warning us about the dangers that we face now and about the dangers that are to come. I pray that each and every one who has listened to this radio broadcast this evening, Lord, that they would study these matters out for themselves, Lord, and that each and every one, including myself, Lord, that each and every one of us, that we would listen to your word, have faith in your love, and allow you to work out your love and power in our lives so that we can be faithful to you and to your word and to your government, and that we can escape the wrath of God. So bless us and keep us, Lord, and I pause a little longer this evening to pray for those who may be sick, those who may be suffering, those who may be homeless, those who may be hungry, those who may be discouraged, those who may be having marital problems, financial problems, Lord, those who are looking for the way to go. I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us will continue to have faith in your love and to rest in the promises of your word, for they are sure. These things we pray and ask humbly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So listeners, if you have any questions or if you'd like more information, please send an email to inquiries@wildernesspublications.org. You can also listen to and download our radio program podcasts at https://voice-in-z-wilderness.podcastpage.io/. You can also find our podcasts on Spotify. Search for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio by Wilderness Productions. On next week's program, we will continue with part 16 of this series of radio broadcasts called The Vatican in Europe. Well, that's it for tonight's radio broadcast, listeners. Until next week, good night and God bless.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically-based messages live and on the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.